London Business School Review. Lonely at the top? Do me a favour. People in positions of power become cynical about the motives of their colleagues. That means they think differently about themselves. By Ina Inesi.
We've all heard celebrities and life's highest flyers complain that it's lonely at the top. It's tempting to think, perhaps uncharitably, too bad, so sad. After all, feeling isolated in this way is the price of achieving fame and power beyond the reach and imagination of the vast majority of us. But might it also affect people whose success and influence is less heady and less visible? The path to achieving any sort of power usually involves getting on well with others, listening to their point of view, and showing them they're valued and appreciated. Characteristics necessary to building and maintaining strong relationships. However, after power has been bestowed, these attractive and trust-building virtues all too often disappear. As Dakar Keltner, professor of psychology at UC Berkeley, writes, this is the heart of the power paradox. The seductions of power induce us to lose the very skills that enabled us to gain power in the first place. Once warm interactions become chilly as cynicism replaces camaraderie. Over 50 years ago, the political scientist Hans Morgenthau poignantly described how a powerful person, unable to shrug off the suspicion that they are a target for manipulation, distrusts their relationships. The more men the master holds bound to his will, the more he is aware of his loneliness. His success in terms of power only serves to illuminate his failure in terms of love. The power holders start to distance themselves from those they were once close to. Niggling thoughts seed in their minds. They start to question the motives of those around them. Do people like me because I'm me, or because of my position? Are my jokes actually funny, or are people just laughing because I'm the boss? Did that person do me a favour because they want something? Together with my colleagues, Deborah Grunfeld of Stanford University and Adam Galinsky of Columbia University, I investigated this psychological consequence of power, how the power holder starts to view things through an altered lens, in a series of studies. We divided participants into two groups and asked one to write about a subordinate with whom they had worked and the other a peer. All the participants then responded to different scenarios in which that colleague had done them a favour, such as proofreading a document for them so they could leave work on time. They rated, on a 5-point scale, what they thought lay behind their colleague having offered the favour and how they felt about receiving it. Those participants who had written about a subordinate were more likely to see the favour as selfishly motivated. The group recalling a peer were less likely to suspect a selfish motive. This powerful group also reported feeling less grateful and appreciative, and less likely to trust the person giving the favour. This group also felt less inclined to reciprocate. We concluded that, rather than being welcomed, favours can have the opposite effect. They make power holders wary and impede the sort of friendly behaviour required for close relationships to develop and last. Through a glass darkly. Another study I conducted with Sun Young Lee of University College London and Kimberly Rios of Ohio University examined this mistrust of an ostensibly kind act further. If you believe someone sees you in a particular way, does that alter the way you see yourself? We assigned the roles of boss and worker to paired participants. They were told that one of them would have to work in a distant office about 5 minutes' walk away, up a few flights of stairs. Although we set up the study so that it was always the worker who went to the distant office, the boss didn't know that. In fact, the worker was a lab assistant. In half the cases, it appeared that the worker went as the result of the toss of a coin. In the other half, the worker went because they immediately volunteered to do so, as a favour to the boss. The boss was then asked to assess how much the worker had acted because of their respective roles and how much they were motivated by expecting to be repaid. They were also asked to rate, on a scale of 1 to 5, how much they believed people liked them for their power, wealth, looks, kindness, ability to listen, considerateness, reliability, and trustworthiness. Our study found that when the boss believed the worker had gone to the distant office as a favour, they were more likely to believe it was done for purposes of ingratiation. More importantly, this made bosses more likely to believe that their power made them attractive to others. I see what I think you see. Being done a favour causes the power holder to self-objectify. In other words, they internalise the view that they believe others hold of them. If someone thinks that I'm valuable because of my power, then that must be what makes me valuable. These power holders think they are worth doing a favour for because of their influence, and then come to define themselves more in those terms. It's not relevant whether a subordinate does have an ulterior motive for doing the favour. What's important here is that the power holder believes that they do. Desiring to remain attractive and important to others, they then push to increase their power further. Although it's long been thought that having power frees someone to be their true self, we found the opposite. It ensnares them in a new and restrictive identity and cycle of behaviours. Another part of our study revealed that these behaviours included being prepared to pay more for high-status goods. Because other people value my power, I should buy a Rolex, a Porsche, or a house in the Cotswolds. It's little wonder, then, that those with power, to whatever degree or in whatever guise, may feel isolated. They can find themselves in an unenviable predicament. Spurning the kindness of others, they keep them at arm's length, while at the same time striving to maintain their worth in the eyes of those same people and themselves by scrambling for a bit more power.
Ina Inesi is Associate Professor of Organisational Behaviour at London Business School. For more fresh ideas from London Business School Review, visit london.edu/LBSR.